This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by one of our City Council candidates, Jeff, or Geoffrey Cope, as you appear, Jeff, on the ballot form. Very nice to meet you, and thank you for spending some time with 307 Net Info.
You're welcome.
So, Jeff, not many people know you, maybe. You are relatively new to town. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to Buffalo.
Sure. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, North Central Pennsylvania. Attended Penn State University. I have a degree in forest science and a minor in wildlife biology. I worked two summers for the Forest Service in spearfish in 1979 and 1980. There were no federal jobs, so I looked for something else, and I went into the Navy in May of 1981 through the Aviation Officer Candidate School Program, which doesn't exist anymore. I spent 6.5 years on active duty, and then almost 25 years in the reserves. The first time I ever came to Buffalo was in 1980 during one of those summers I was in spearfish. I thought it was a cool little place. Since 1990, I've been coming here almost every year for a month or so. And when I retired, this was my retirement place.
So how long have you been in Buffalo?
I moved here in October of 2016.
Oh, so quite a while. So you're pretty familiar with the community and so on. And you have a pretty diverse background there, but obviously your background in wildlife and so on is very appropriate for this part of the world. Of all those things that you've done, what experience and qualifications, do you think that you can bring forward to a seat on City Council?
I'm not sure there's anything in my professional life that would do that, but in my personal life, I figured out how to be able to retire, which one of the things I forgot in the previous segment here was that I also was a police officer in Virginia Beach from November of 1984 until I retired in April of 2015. And so basically in my personal life, I figured out how to retire when I was 56 years old. So I have some confidence in my financial ability.
So is that you would point to really fiscal, of some kind of fiscal skills and expertise that, you would then try and bring to the council?
I'm sure some of it's appropriate to the city government. Maybe some of it isn't, but I feel like I'm pretty financial.
And so are you involved in anything in the community right now? I mean, I don't think many people maybe necessarily know you.
The only group that I'm currently with is with the Bighorn Audubon Society.
And that is birding?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. Well, that was a lucky guess on my part. Let's move on. And the city council position is not really very much a political position, but there is a great deal of responsibility for it. And I think the politics of it may come into play when people think of spending and how city budgets would be spent. In that sort of area, how would you describe yourself? Are you a conservative, a moderate, a progressive? Maybe you could just explain that a little bit and maybe give us an example.
Sure. Firstly, one thing I truly believe in is that if there are services that folks want, then we as a community should be willing to pay for those. So that's kind of top on my list. And if there's things that you don't want, which has been expressed in the past, then you don't get those services.
So it may be that there are some people that want a service, but not a majority, or it's a fairly small number of people with a sort of unique set of circumstances that will matter. How do you balance those things?
First off, one of the things that kind of is guiding me through this campaign season is actually the comprehensive plan survey feedback summary. And so there are lots of things that folks have talked about in here, and I know we discussed earlier that we weren't going to talk about some of the propositions that are on the ballot, but there are several there.
Yes.
And so folks are going to have the opportunity to say, yes, we want these things, or no, we don't want these things.
Yes, there are some propositions, and they will be, I will post details of those too. Can you explain how you put that together?
That's just simply the will of the folks if they're willing to do these street repairs. Because
it would need to go to some kind of vote. Is when you would you would be able to feel that you can support it. Is that how that's working?
The city council should mirror what folks want, and so in these ballot measures, if people decide that yes, we're voting yes for that, then obviously I think the city council should support that. And if they don't support that, then at some point in time, some of those services may go away. The streets may become more in disrepair. Maybe water lines break, sewer lines break, whatever. So we do need to be willing to pay for those things.
That is, it's not necessarily a very sort of quick and simple way of assessing by, you know, going to a vote, going to a ballot, even if it happens once a year. It's not a very quick way of assessing where the community's opinion sort of broadly lies on an issue. What about all the decisions that will be coming before you just, you know, on a daily basis?
Well, I think the other thing that kind of should be guiding the city council is this comprehensive plan survey feedback. So that's more of, I don't know that it's up to date. This has been out for quite a while, but it's something different than a proposition. And then people have expressed their opinions through a city survey of the things that they want or to be improved, or maybe some things that they don't want.
My recollection is that was, you decided if you wanted to participate in that, and not everybody may have even known that it was happening. So it's probably not a, you know, statistically robust snapshot of community opinion at any one time. It's those people who chose to make their opinions. They self-selected themselves.
Well, it probably is maybe not even a good representation of the folks in the city, because by my calculations, I think I wrote originally to you that it was 4.8% of the people, but it actually might be 4.8% of the residences.
That's a
here.
Very low number.
It's
so, and you think that that's a good metric, on which to sort of base priorities?
Well, one of the other things I would say to folks too is that the give and take between city council and the citizens of Buffalo, I think that relationship has to be improved in some way. Because in reading a lot of the comments in the comprehensive plan survey, people are expressing that there was no transparency to the city council. There's not much interaction. And so maybe the city council could do a better job of reaching out to folks to find out what they want, like a town hall meeting or something such as that.
So I'm going to ask you, what do you think the priorities of Buffalo City Council should be? Would that be one of them, to improve communications and interchange of ideas and needs and wants and so on between citizens and
absolutely
those elected officials?
And I've lived here for 8 years, and I won't say that there's never been any kind of a meeting, but there's not regular, like town hall type meetings, just that don't have anything to do with the business that's going on at the city council at that time, but just to get kind of the temperature of, what folks are feeling or what it is they want.
There is, of course, the opportunity for public comment and to bring forward at any particular time issues to the council. Public comment is actually, covered by some statute and so on as to what then city council can and cannot respond to, but it is a way of citizens being able to bring issues that they're concerned about, in an immediate form every 2 weeks.
My experience with attending the city council meetings is that the citizens that are showing up have something specific that they're there to discuss. They have some kind of an activity where they need a street closed or something like that.
Or they have an issue which they are unhappy with or concerned about, for example.
Right.
So what do you think should be the priorities of the Buffalo City Council?
Well, I think the street and the infrastructure upgrades that are happening, I think that should be a priority. I know they've done 3 projects, I think, since I've been here, Love and Fetterman, and they're working on the third one. And so
Sunset, I believe.
As does You know, and as those are improving, they're also improving the infrastructure, water and sewer. But as I drive around Buffalo, I mean, there are many other streets that could probably use some upgrades. So I think that's one priority. I know there's a lot of talk about middle-class housing, and so that should be a priority, I do believe. And there's been a lot of talk about that that's an issue, but I don't know that there's been a lot of talk about how we exactly are going to solve that. So I think there are some places in town that I've thought about that could be used for that, where the, you know, the business park is. I'm not sure that that will ever be a business park, but maybe perhaps that could be used for middle-class housing. The infrastructure is already there. I know there would probably have to be some talk with the Wyoming Business Council, because I think there was $1.8 million that was given to the city for that. So there might have to be some negotiation with the Wyoming Business Council to undo that, if that was going to go back just into the city property. Because I do believe that property belongs to the city. So that's twofold. You get middle-class housing, and you also put that property back onto the property tax rolls, so which helps out the city also.
So your priorities would be infrastructure and housing. Anything else that you feel is a concern that you're going to particularly champion?
Well, one of the other things I read in this survey is economic development of growing businesses and that kind of stuff. But I don't think that's ever going to happen until we have places for people to live.
It does become a catch-22, and many employers have lamented that problem and say that they find it very difficult. They can attract good candidates for the empty positions or roles that are now available, but people can't come and find places to live. And even people can't move who are already in our area. They can't move house because they can sell their house, but they can't move into something else. The market does seem to be very tight.
Last week, I looked at several real estate companies that do business in Johnson County, and I excluded any property that were in the county. I think there were 25 places for sale. Three of them were for less than $300,000.
It is very expensive, and that is a significant issue. And also, some employers have found that they have to offer their workers more to live in Buffalo. And we might even be seeing a reverse commute corridor opening up, with people actually going to Sheridan to work more, or Gillette to work more, or maybe even leaving to go to those jobs because they can't afford to stay in Buffalo, which does not bode well for the future. What do you think? And, you know, talking about affordable housing, if we can call it that, affordable housing, and there are different ways of looking at that. There's low income housing, and then there's what you described as middle class housing, and everybody has a slightly different take on what it actually is. But it is a frustration, and it sort of hinders growth and, you know, the overall health of our community. What do you think the role of city council should be in that? Because we're looking at high land prices, high prices of cost of labor, high material costs, and this is not a unique problem to Buffalo or even to this little slice of Wyoming. This is a national problem, and it is unattractive for developers to come in to communities like ours without a sweetener. The city council is in the position of actually being able to really quite sweeten the pot. What do you think the role of our city council should be in something like that?
There are some things that the city council could do or not do. One of those things, and I've seen this in several of the city council meetings, is, you know, waiving building permit fees. I don't agree with waiving the fees for water and sewer hookups, because those are enterprise funds, and so they have to be self-sustaining. And I know that is a drop in the bucket to what the cost of a house would be. But I see, if you walk up and down Main Street, you will see signs on lots of businesses that they're looking for people to come and work. And now we have two new businesses that are going to require quite a few people to run those businesses with.
Which businesses are you describing?
The General Dollar and the Love's Truck Stop. I know Love's has said they need 60 people to run their business. I've heard other folks in town say, well, they could do it with 40, but we're not Love Truck Stock Management, so I think they're probably more informed of how many people they need to do their work. And so if you have 60 workers, I mean, that might be 60 houses. So there are some things that I've also looked at as we talked before the interview started about different construction methods and something like that. And also being able to get the contractors interested in building something that's not a custom built home.
So to go back to the question, do you think that the city council should have a fairly heavy hand in incentivizing and motivating development here as opposed to developers going to other communities where they may have sweetened that and may have incentivized it? Or do you think it's city council should have a light touch?
Good question. My gut feeling is that if the city is not pretty strongly involved, nobody's going to be building these houses. And I know in some of the higher priced places in Wyoming, like in Jackson, I mean, employers are actually building or buying properties for their employees to live in. Are we to that point yet? Probably not.
I believe that some entities are doing that or have done that, or at least are renting. Or very close to considering.
And so as I talked about the business park, if we could convert that into residential housing, maybe the city owns that for a while and slowly transition that into private property just to kind of get the ball rolling. And I think once, if we get those workers into the city, you're going to improve the coffers of the city of Buffalo as far as revenues incoming. And so then maybe then start transitioning that to a private enterprise or private property, actually, you know, with their owner-occupied homes.
We've mentioned local businesses a moment or two ago, and they are absolutely a cornerstone of our local economy. Not only do they serve local residents, but they also attract visitors in. When we have a thriving and healthy and attractive looking Western Main Street, you know, we get more visitors, and the Johnson County Tourist Association, you know, are heavily involved in promoting Buffalo outside of our roles, and the Chamber of Commerce has become much more active recently. What do you think the City Council's role again should be in encouraging and supporting local business? Again, the question really is heavy-handed, lots of contact and involvement and encouragement, or a very light touch?
I guess that depends on how the citizens of the city, what they want the city to be. Do they want to be a growing, expanding city, or maintain what we have? But still the issue is, even with the businesses that are here, the small businesses, they still need people to work. And so, I mean, I know from COVID until now, there are even still like restaurants that have gone out of business, restaurants that are open irregular hours, and, you know, signs on the door saying, hey, we need people to come and work. So I don't know, heavy handed or light touch accurately describes what I feel about that. But I think it really depends on, do you just want to maintain the main street as it is? Do you want to become some thriving, I don't know, I almost said Asheville, but that's probably not a good example now, but, you know, where it was kind of an industrial kind of place, and now it's kind of turned into an RC kind of place, and maybe that would attract more restaurant type businesses or more retail businesses or something like that. But that's a tough question, because, you know, when you start getting bigger, then the character of your city starts changing. And I know Buffalo ranks high on a lot of Western magazines about a good place to come and visit if you want to visit the Old West.
And indeed, our county planner, Jim Waller, has described on multiple occasions how this particular little slice of the universe and this little corridor, Sheridan, Johnson County, you know, going from north to south, you know, is one of the most popular areas at the moment for growth. Now, that won't necessarily be growth within the city because we don't have much more land to develop within the city itself. But as a broader community of people who want to come in and use the city of Buffalo for amenities and services and so on, you know, growth seems to be inevitable. It is going to be pushed because we're going to have more people. So how do you think city council should respond to that?
I don't think they're going to have much to say about what happens in the county.
I'm describing, you know, how the city of Buffalo would service, you know, the community, the broader community of Johnson County, as the county seat.
From experience when I was in Virginia Beach, I will just say this, as I'm not sure if you're familiar with Virginia Beach or not, but there was never any city center there, and then they kind of built the city center. The southern part of the city was rural. It was called Prince's Anne County before they incorporated, and folks decided that's where they wanted to live. It still was within the city, but people would say they lived in the county. And the one thing you do when you expand like that, when there's just kind of sprawling growth, is you put a tax on your services, really. Your fire, your police, your... And so, again, that's something people have to be willing to pay for. If you're going to have people living outside the city, are they going to be serviced by what fire department? Or, you know, they
at
don't...
At the moment, there are city and county fire departments, aren't there? So,
right.
Would you envisage that changing?
I'm not sure. I don't get a big feeling that the city and county are on really good terms. So I'm not sure if there would ever be a meeting of the minds to incorporate some of these.
Would that be something that you think there's an opportunity to, for city and county to kind of work more closely together to have better liaisons and arrangements?
Yeah, my understanding is, I don't know how long ago, but there was like a city-county engineer, of which has been described that maybe wasn't the right person for the job. But I do think sharing some things makes a lot of sense.
There are regular city-county meetings, say a monthly. I don't know whether you've attended any of those, but there is collaboration there.
Between the commissioners and the council, I'm saying if you had actual staff or workers, that could work.
I am
sorry. Both sides of it.
Slightly different nuance than I'd interpreted. Yes, I understand.
So yeah, I agree that there are meetings, and I have not attended any of those, so I really don't know what goes on there. But I do think there could be a lot more cooperation between the county and the city for sure.
So going back to infrastructure, pretty important stuff. Without good water, good roads, you mentioned earlier, and so on, you know, our city is not as pleasant a place to live, and sometimes the health and safety concerns too. Where do you think the priority should be in terms of tackling that with the budget that there is available? How would you address the challenges of aging systems whilst balancing the need for some upgrades and maintenance and also budget constraints?
I go back to what I started with. It's like, you know, a few years ago we had this resolution on the ballot for, I forget all the different properties, but there were lots of city, county, and KC properties that there was something on the ballot to do a 1% tax to pay for all of these things. So the other thing I think is for any government, they require X amount of dollars to do their business. And so that money has to come from somewhere, whether it's coming from a sales tax, an income tax, a property tax. It requires X amount of dollars. So I guess people have to decide, again, what are they willing to pay for? And how are they willing to pay for it?
One of the things you mentioned earlier that you felt was a real strength that you could bring to this was your fiscal acumen. And that, you know, you managed to secure your own retirement at a relatively early age. Most people don't think of retiring that early and being able to do so, being financially able to do so. How do you think that translates into sort of working on budgets and divvying up who gets what and thinking for the future?
I don't think everybody has the ability, depending on what their family situation, to do what I did. So I do understand that. But again, all I could say is, if people want their roads to be fixed, they want to have good water, they want to have a good sewer, the money has to come from somewhere. And I think we should be willing to pay our fair share to do that. And again, however that governmental, you know, whether it be municipal or county or state, chooses to fund those things, you know, either that or people have to decide, or the council has to decide that, hey, we can't do this. And then people will have to live with those things that no longer exist.
So are there any specific actions or proposals that have happened or are coming up by the City Council that you know you particularly agree or disagree with? Have there been anything that you say you've been following this for a while, obviously, and, you know, is there anything that has made you have a sharp intake of breath and say, if I was on council, I would never vote for that?
Well, there was, in the most recent City Council, I was kind of disappointed, but yet also pleased. There was a particular project that came up, and for that project, the person that was advocating for it requested a waiver of all building permit fees and water and all that kind of stuff. And so they kind of went half and half. But as I said earlier, I mean, those things are enterprise funds. So, I mean, they have to fund themselves. So if somebody's getting a break on that, then somebody else is eventually paying for that. So I would definitely support waivers of building permit fees, but I don't think on the connections for water and sewer, I think that should be straight up. And I know there's been talk of annexation of property into the city, and it should come in as whoever wants to annex whatever their zoning code should be. Personally, I believe that that property should come into the city as an R1, and then there should be a discussion later if it needs to be changed. Of course, if there's already something sitting there that wouldn't fit into an R1, that's not going to work. But I think we start with the most restrictive zoning and then have a discussion later about whether it needs to be changed. And I think all of those properties should meet the building, the current national standards for buildings, which I'm not sure is true in the county.
So imagine a world in which you're successful with the election and you're coming to the end of your term. What do you hope you would have accomplished during that time?
I think all of those things that we just talked about. I would like to see affordable housing for middle-class citizens so that our businesses can have workers. That also helps the city coffers by having a larger population, more property on the tax rolls. So I think that's the biggest thing. I would feel that I hadn't accomplished that if, you know, we don't see signs on Main Street for businesses asking for people to come to work and they can't find them. So, yeah. But there are other things that I've made notes of here, too. We already talked about the housing stuff. I think there should be a city planner and a city engineer, which I know the planner, I believe, is on a contract basis, or they just passed a resolution to have a planner on a contract basis. But I think we could probably use a full-time planner, maybe share an engineer with the county, and some enforcement of some of the ordinances that are on the books, as people that I talk to.
There are plenty of ordinances and not much enforcement.
And I will tell you this, every person that I've talked to, their biggest complaint from a quality of life issue, barking dogs.
So what would you do about barking dogs?
Well, the city's take on that is the citizen has to gather their neighbors to go to the city attorney, fill out paperwork, which then goes through all the wickets to eventually get to court. So I would advocate for changing that so the police would actually enforce that. If you live in my neighborhood, I don't have two neighbors to go to the city attorney with me because everybody else has dogs that bark. So that's not a very good solution for me.
Well, that would be an interesting to watch.
I see.
Yes. Is there anything else that you would like to say to voters? This is your opportunity to appeal to them.
Now, the one thing I'd like to say is, I know I'm relatively new to the community. Sometimes that fits in well, sometimes it doesn't fit in well. I know with a smaller community. But I would say, you know, take a chance, something new, instead of having the same old hamburger.
So I would like to just pursue that a moment, because blindingly obvious that I'm also not from originally. What is often said is people come from outside and they want to try and change us. And I have tremendous respect for that. What do you think about that? Because it is a difficult balance coming with a previous experience of having lived somewhere else and seeing how other people do things and bring the good things there without changing the character of a community, which has a very strong and unique individual character, a very dynamic personality about itself and some unique features. How do you think those things could be balanced?
I don't think it's out of the ordinary for folks who have lived somewhere for a while, maybe born and raised there. Although I know a lot of people in Wyoming were not born in Wyoming, including the two of us right here. So I don't know if that's a scary proposition that, you know, they feel like they're going to lose control of, you know, their way of life. But I'm not here to do that. I just want to be fiscally responsible, and I want people to know that I will do my best to be fiscally responsible. And, you know, sometimes change is good instead of maybe having the same old people come back and sit on the council. And if I am elected and 4 years from now they're not really happy with what I've done, then they can send me on my way.
Well, Gerfcote, thank you very much indeed for spending some time. I wish you well in the rest of your campaigning, and we look forward to the results in November.
Thank you.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.